Blog Talk Radio.
The goal of this blog and this broadcast is to read the Bible in 1 year. That was my assignment for this year, is to read the Word of God in 1 year. And we have been coming all year from the Charles F. Stanley Life Principles Daily Bible, Biblical Principles for Each Day of the Year. And so just want everybody to know that's what we do. We are really, I would like, and what God has given me is that we are for those folks that may not be able to get out, to get to church, to get to be able to read the Bible for themselves due to, you know, issues with their sight or with any of other things. So just want you to know, we're not trying to tell anybody what to do. All our goal is for everybody to have an opportunity to hear the Word of God, whether you're at work, whether you're in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're in your bed, wherever you may be, our goal is for you to hear God's Word. Just like you hear the game, just like you hear anything else that's on radio. So that's what we do, and I just didn't want any misunderstandings. And Charles Stanley commentary just happens to be the commentary for this year. That is why I say, and Dr. Stanley says, because we are coming out of his study Bible. So just clarifying. And to let you know that what we do for God. I don't ask for any money at this time because that was not put into my my spirit by God. He has provided, and I am grateful. So we pay annually for our show, and so this is something I do from my heart because I love God, and I'm going to do what God asked me to do. So I thank all of you who join us regularly for joining us. It's appreciated. And I thank God for you, and I thank God for this opportunity to do his will. Not mine, but his. And so let's get started in our word this morning. And the title that God gave me for today's show is Mercy, Peace, and Love Be Multiplied to You. And it is coming out of the book of Jude, which is another chapter book. It's just one chapter. And then we are going into, woohoo! Actually, Joel is longer. I'm sorry, y'all. It's about three or four chapters, I believe. but we will be going into Revelation. Yay. Can y'all say that with me? Revelation. Yay. And I do believe we may be going into Revelations today. We will. So drum roll and all those things, we will be going into Revelations today as well as Joel. So let's get started. Father God in heaven, I am so grateful, thankful, and blessed to be your daughter, Lord. And I ask you to increase as I decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my humble heart be acceptable in your holy sight. For Father God, you are my strength and my redeemer. I cannot do this without you, Father. And I ask you to increase as I decrease. As these words that come from my mouth, may they come from you, O God, for hearts to be changed and lives to be made better. For those that do not believe, to believe that there is a Savior, and his name is Jesus Christ. He died on Calvary's cross for our sins, and he rose again. Hallelujah. And is on your right hand, interceding for each and every one of us, day in and day out. Minute by minute, second by second, hour by hour, day by day, he intercedes for us with you, O Father. And it's in his name that I pray, trusting and believing that all things work for our good because we trust and believe in you. In Jesus' name, I pray, lifting up and laying all that I do on your altar, Father God. Use me for your glory. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Today we're going to start, however, in our Psalms because we were in Hosea over the last on Friday, and I do apologize for those that got kicked off because there was a technical glitch where live I was only on air for about 15, 20 minutes, and then I got kicked off. I continued the show, so you, in order to hear it, you have to go to blogtalkradio.com and put in Moving Forward with Minister Bridget, and you will be able to hear Friday's show in its entirety. Today we should be fine. I did some double checking to make sure that I had done it right. So thank you so very much again for your patience. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your support in this Bible reading, Bible study. And so let's get into our word again. We are first coming out of Psalms, and then we will go into our New Testament word. So Psalms, Proverbs, New Testament, and a couple of new books in New Testament as well. So let's get started. And it says in Psalms 139, verses 17 through 24, how precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And see if there is any wicked way in me. And lead me in the way of everlasting. You know, David was sick and tired of being sick and tired of haters, of folks that didn't want to do right by God. And as we continue, Psalms chapter 140, verses 1 through 5, says, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. And we know that David was being chased like a junkyard dog by Saul. who wanted to kill him because he had lost his anointing as king, and David had been anointed king, and Saul was not having it. He was not having it. And so he was chasing David from here to there and everywhere. And so David is a little frustrated right about now. And he's talking to God and he's saying, deliver me, O Lord, from evil men. Preserve me from violent men who plant evil things in their hearts. They continually gather together for war. They sharpen their tongues like a serpent. The poison of asp is under their lips. Salah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from violent men who have purposed to make my steps stumble. The proud have hidden a snare for me in cords. They have spread a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Selah. We continue. Psalms chapter 140, verses 6 through 13. I said to the Lord, you are my God. Hear the voice of my supplication, O Lord. O God, the Lord, the strength of my salvation. You have covered my head in the day of battle. Do not grant, O Lord, the desires of the wicked. Do not further his wicked schemes, lest they be exalted. Selah. As for the head of those who surround me, let the evil of their lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire, into deep pits, that they rise not up again. Let not a slanderer be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. I know that the Lord will maintain the cause of the afflicted and justice for the poor. Surely the righteous shall give thanks to your name. The upright shall dwell in your presence. Praise the Lord. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a fierce man abounds in transgression. And we see that every day. We see it every day. And it goes on to tell us in verse 23 of chapter 29 of Proverbs, a man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. Real familiar attitudes and how people do things. Check a man's character and you'll know how that man is. Proverbs 29:24. Whoever is a partner with a thief hates his own life. He swears to tell the truth but reveals nothing. What a word today. And now we're getting into our New Testament word this morning. And it's a drum roll. Yay, New Testament. New chapter, new book, new everything. And again, our little book. And honestly, I will tell anybody, if you have opportunity to go on Amazon and buy this little book, which is so awesome. And it says, all 66 books explained and applied, no Bible. And it's just a little, probably not even, I don't think 100 pages, 94 pages. And we actually will be finishing it up today as far as the New Testament. We still have quite a little bit of Old Testament words to go through when we get to Joel and we get to Amos and Obadiah. And, you know, but today we're going to be in Jude. Yay! And this is what it says. Jude, possibly brother, Jesus' half-brother, Matthew and Mark. Matthew 13:55 and Mark 6:3 and Jude 1:1. And it says Jude 1:1, possibly Jesus' half-brother. And we're going to go really quick. Let me get my other Bible here. To Matthew chapter 13. So Matthew chapter 13. And we all know Matthew is the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 13, verse 55. And it says this, and this is called, and if you look at four titles, it says Rejection at Nazareth. And we're going to start at verse 53 to get it all in context and go to verse 58. And it says this, when Jesus had finished these parables, he left there and he went to his hometown and began to teach them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't this in his mother Mary, called Mary, and his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, aren't they all with us? So where does he get all these things? And they were offended by him. Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and in his household. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. And Judas is Jude. That's a short for Judas. Judas is short for Judas. And so it just says who they are, James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas. So Jesus did have siblings through his mother Mary. And if you're told differently, it is not biblical. And I'm just throwing it out there so everybody can catch it. And it says this in Mark chapter 6, verse number 3. And again, we're talking rejection in Nazareth. And Jesus says right here, same thing. And it says, and he left there and came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. When the Sabbath came, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astonished. Where did this man get these things? They said, what is this wisdom that has been given to him? And how are these miracles performed by his hands? Isn't this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon? And aren't his sisters here with us? So they were offended by him. And again, Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown, among his relatives, and in his household. He was not able to do a miracle there except that he laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them, and he was amazed at the unbelief. He was going around the villages teaching. So folks don't want to believe you. We all know that folks want to talk about you when you're doing what you do in your hometown. It wasn't that such and such. And didn't she do this and that? And then that such and such. Wasn't he in such and such? Don't he have some kids out of wedlock? Da, 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 da. Not looking at today and what you do, but what you did yesterday. What you did as a kid. What you did as a teenager. Girl, he was so bad. I can't believe he's teaching. And that such and such is grandkid. And that such and such is son. And that such and such is daughter. Girl, I don't know how she out there trying to call herself a preacher or evangelist or a teacher or a minister. What? She a minister, girl? That's boo-boo's cousin. You know, his mama and her mama are sisters. How's she trying to call herself a preacher? We hear it all the time. Folks want to judge you on your family, want to judge you on your past, want to judge you on everything but that God called you. This is God called his son. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, he sent him here to take our wicked sins to the cross so we may be able to have eternal life. We are blessed beyond measure. So, again, Jude, or Judas, is the brother, half-brother of Jesus. And it says this, it was written in approximately A.D. 82. And the 10 words or less, beware of heretical teachers and their dangerous doctrine. We got to be careful of heretics because they're going to get you walking down the wrong road. They'll have you thinking all kind of craziness. So be careful. And the details, please. Jude tackles the same problems Peter did in his second letter. false teachers who were leading the early church astray, murmurers and complainers who were walking after their own lusts, were apparently using the grace of God as a cover for their simple lifestyle and encouraging Christian believers to do the same. True believers, Jude says, reflect God's love, show compassion, and work to pull sinners out of the fire. Quotables from the book of Jude. Yet should earnest contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Jude 1 and 3, which we will get to. Unique and unusual about Jude. Jude provides details of two Old Testament events not recorded in the Old Testament. The archangel Michael's fight with Satan over the body of Moses and Enoch's prophecy of God's judgment. So what? Satan tries to sneak secret agents into God's church to confuse and ultimately crush true believers. It's the job of every true Christian to earnestly contend for the faith found by Jesus' disciples and recorded in the Bible. Don't fall for the okie doke, which is word out of context. You got those that will come in the body of Christ, read a scripture, and take it and run, and it's all out of context. That's why you got to read the whole thing. When we read the word, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. And then it goes on to say, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. But what you don't understand is David is praying for God to take out those that are wicked. And what did he tell you? He said, oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, you bloodthirsty men, for they speak against you wickedly. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate them, O Lord, who hate you? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with perfect hatred. I count them my enemies. And then he says, search me, O God. David is hot. He's mad that folks are taking the Lord's name in vain. He's upset that folks are after him. And so he's saying, I hate them. Jesus hadn't come yet to David talking about forgiveness. David was hot, and he didn't like it. And so there's a whole lot involved in that scripture besides search me, O God. But again, the word tells us that God knows our heart. And David was saying, this is my heart. I'm angry. I'm mad. I'm full of hate. And so we got to look at the whole thing in context. And as we get into our word this morning in Jude chapter 1, it says this, Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James. He's letting you know Jesus is my brother. James is my brother. James is his whole brother, as they want to call it, half brother. You know, my brother on my mama's side, you know. Again, I learn something every day from students that I used to tutor. I tell you, I had never heard the term my sibling on my mother's side or my sibling on my daddy's side until I tutored a little girl who explained it to me. You know, no half-sisters, step-sisters, but they are your siblings on whatever side of the family. So if you have six brothers and sisters, and they're all children born of your mother, they are children on your mama's side. And if you have four or five brothers and sisters, 21 brothers and sisters on your daddy's side, then they are your siblings on your daddy's side. And so I was like, wow, thank you. Instead of my half-sister or my step-sister, that's my brother on my daddy's side. All righty. Explain it to me, and they do. So understand that James is Jude's brother on his mama and his daddy's side. That is his whole brother, whereas Jesus is his brother on his mama's side. Just breaking it down. And as we continue, it says this, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. And this is our title this morning. Mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to you. and again, in context, to those who are called, sanctified by God the Father, and preserved in Jesus Christ. Beloved, while I was very diligent to write to you concerning our common salvation, I found it necessary to write to you exhorting you to contend earnestly for the faith, which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and denied the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe, angels who did not keep their proper domain, but left their own abode. He has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness for the judgment of the great day, as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them in a similar manner, in these having given themselves over to sexual immorality and gone after strange flesh, are set forth as an example of suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. If you got somebody in your church that is doing that, it says they defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. If you got somebody that disrespecting your pastor, telling your pastor they don't know what they doing and that they know more and they this and they that and they don't, and they trying to take over the church, get them out. Kick them out, because all they're going to do is be a sneaky, slimy snake slithering in to cause disturbance within the body of Christ. We need to take it, and take them out the door. Because they are like a cancer that would destruction. You cannot have someone who does not treat the people of God with intelligence and respect and love of Jesus Christ. Instead, they want to stand in condemnation and judgment of everybody but themselves. I'm this and I'm that and I got this and I got that and I. Where's Jesus in it? Where's Jesus in it? We got to understand, we got to be careful in this wicked day, that there are going to be slimy, sneaky snakes slithering in, slithering out, slithering in, slithering out. If they leave, let them be gone, because they may have been tear that God pulled up and got them out of the wheat. Don't keep trying to bring, let me shut up. Whew, but we got to be careful. Don't let just anybody walk in and get in your pulpit. And if they say reject authority and speak evil of dignitaries, and we're talking to pastors and the ministerial staff in these churches, if folks got to talk evil in your church, now I'm not saying when you start talking about folks that are doing wrong, I'm talking about folks that everybody know is doing right, and you come in to try to cause confusion. Kick them out, family. I'm talking to pastors out there. Don't play around. I understand you can forgive. You can let somebody come back in, but let them sit. Don't put them in your pulpits. Don't let them in on your praise things. Don't let them back in your church to cause confusion. Because if they are confusing, that's what they're going to do, cause confusion. This is what chapter 1, verse 2 says. And now this is not in, we have not read this in the Old Testament, but this is Jude speaking on something that they know, because again, we all understand that we have only part of what the Word of God was written, because we haven't found it all. You know, some things we found, they found, and other things they have not found. So there may be scripture that Jude knows that we don't. And this is talking about the body of Moses. As we already know, no man knows where it is, even though archaeologists have looked all over Zion, have looked all over Israel, have looked all over the whole state, country of Israel, trying to find Moses' body. But God is not going to let them find it. And understand, this is what was going on that we may not have seen in the Old Testament, but that Jude knows, and this is what he's saying. He says, likewise, also these dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitaries. Yet Michael, the archangel, in contending with the devil when he disputed about the body of Moses, dare not bring against him a reviling accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke you. But these speak evil of whatever they do not know, and whatever they know naturally like brute beasts, in these things they corrupt themselves. Woe to them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, have run greedily in the era of Balaam, for profit and perish in the rebellion of Korah. These are spots in your love feast. These are spots in your love feast. While they feast with you without fear, serving only themselves, they are clouds without water, carried about by the winds, last autumn trees without fruit, twice dead, pulled up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming up their own shame, and wandering stars for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in the ungodly way, of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. If that's somebody you know, always complaining, grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. They want to be tight with this person so they can cause confusion with another one. We better be careful. Watch out. Folks, they can't say nothing good about the service. You say, oh, we had an awesome service today. The word was spoken, and all they can say is, well, it was all right. But I don't know. When I did this, and when I did that, and when I, you know, well, I could do that, and I could preach better than that, and I can, and I'm a prophet, and I'm a this, and I'm a that, and I'm a. Just complaining about everything, about what one of the ministers had on, about this, about that, about how the praise team, oh, well, I didn't feel that. You know, and you're singing to God, and you feel an anointing, and you look over, and there's this frown of smugness on somebody's face because they don't like the way somebody was singing, or they don't like the way the service was going. Right there, it's in the Word. Anything you can imagine in the church body, it's in the Word of God. And I'm going to read it one more time, and then we're going to keep moving because I don't want to run out of time because we want to get to Revelations today. And it says, these are grumblers, complainers, walking according to their own lust, and they mouth great swelling words, flattering people to gain advantage. But you, beloved, remember the words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how they told you that there would be mockers in the church in the last time who would walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. You heard that. Read it again. How they told you that there would be mockers in the last time who will walk according to their own ungodly lusts. These are sensual persons who cause divisions, not having the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction, but others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. And when we go back to the life lesson from Jude chapter 1, we hear this: contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. The gospel of Jesus Christ does not change, since he is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. And we know that's Hebrews 13 and 8. So his gospel remains eternally the same and is worth fighting for, since through it alone we find eternal life. As the return of Jesus draws nearer, we will see an increase in those who mock genuine faith in Jesus. They will make vicious fun of believers and hold them up for ridicule, just as Jesus' enemies mocked him. Jude chapter 5, the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed those who did not believe. And this is what Dr. Stanley says, and it is good. Here we see both the goodness and severity of God side by side. The Lord showed his goodness in rescuing the Israelites from Egyptian slavery, but his severity in punishing their stubborn disobedience and rebellion. 11-day journey that turned into 40 years. I don't play. Jude 24. Chapter 1, verse 24. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. While God asks us to cooperate with him in the process of sanctification, it is he who conforms us to the image of Jesus by his power and infinite wisdom. That is why we can joyfully anticipate our total transformation. We got to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. We are God's children, and he loves us completely. I say it one more time. We are God's children, and he loves us completely. Jude's letter tells us this. His epistle tells us this. We got to read the word of God and read what his saints are telling us. So another drum roll, please. We are finally, yay, thank you, Lord, in Revelations. And I'm going to tell you right now, before we get started, it is a book that is no joke. It is going to tell us what we need to know to get our bags packed, to get ready, because I got to take a minute of silence from my home state where I was born, just about 30-some miles from where I grew up. A devastating tornado hit. And so I pray today for the people of Mayfield, Kentucky, who have lost their lives. It said in an article I read that there were 30 tornadoes that hit down in 6 states. Family, God is trying to get our attention. The question is, are we listening? And so, Father God, I take this moment to pray for all of the souls lost. It may feel. I pray for those that are left behind, for we know that those that have gone on are absent from this earthly body and with you. Father God, I pray that they were saved, that they knew Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. But we know that the day of judgment will come. But Father God, I ask you right now to watch over that community. Help them rebuild. Help them be better. Help them work as a community in love. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So I just had to take a minute. And as we get into Revelations, it says this. The author was John, which we all know, probably the apostle. And we know that he was a disciple as well as an apostle of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It was written approximately AD 95, which is 95 years after Jesus died. So he was pretty old. In 10 words or less, God will judge evil and reward his saints. So if you want to think about Revelation, just think in this way. God will judge evil and reward his saints. And it says, details, please. Jesus Christ himself arranges for John to receive a revelation of things which must shortly come to pass. First, in chapters 2 through 3, Jesus gives John words of challenge and or encouragement for seven churches, the good, the bad, and the in-between. Then the vision turns to the actual throne room of God, where a lamb looking as it has been slain breaks seven seals from a scroll, unleashing war, famine, and other disasters on the earth. Are y'all catching that? Breaks seven seals from a scroll, unleashing war, famine, and other disasters on the earth. A dragon and two beasts allied against God, rise to demand the worship of earth's people who have not been killed in the earlier catastrophes. The satanic forces and the people who follow them incur seven vials of the wrath of God, which bring plagues, darkness, and huge hailstones on earth. The upheaval destroys Babylon the Great, the evil and arrogant world system, just before an angel from heaven seizes Satan, that old serpent, and imprisons him for 1,000 years after a brief release to instigate a worldwide war. Satan is thrown into the lake of fire and brimstone, where he will be tormented day and night forever and ever. And that's Revelation chapter 20, verse 2 and verse 10. God unveils a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation chapter 21, verse 1, where he will wipe away all tears. Revelation 21 and 4, from his people's eyes. And this is quotable from Revelation. Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the word of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein. Did you catch that? Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Revelation 5 and 12. Unique and unusual. Revelations is an example of apocalyptic literature, the only such book in the New Testament. Apocalyptic implies revealing secret information. The book of Revelation identifies Jesus Christ as the Alpha and Omega in 1 and 8 and reveals the number 666 as a sign of the beast in chapter 13 and 18. Chapter 13, verse 18. So what? I've read the book of books, an old Southern gospel song says, and we win. God has given his children preview of how this world ends and the new and improved world will enjoy forever. The curse of sin will be gone and we'll live in perfect fellowship with the Lord himself, and we will reign forever and ever. Chapter 22, verse 5. Kind of puts our bad days in perspective, doesn't it? And that is the whole New Testament of our little book of what and know the Bible. What the Bible says and know the Bible. And we will be finishing up the Old Testament. We have a few new chapters in the Old Testament to get through as we get through Revelation. So let's get started. Revelation chapter 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia. And what does it say about the seven churches? And it tells us in the seven churches. And we go back to that word real quick. And it talks about them. The good, the bad, and the in-between. When we talk about the seven churches, think that through. The good, the bad, the in-between. And it says this. Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. Can I read that again? Because you have folks prophesying and lying. Jesus is coming this way. It is written in the book of books. It is written in this revelation. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, amen. I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. I, John, your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was on the island that is called Patmos. For the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet saying, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. And what you see, write in a book and send it to the seven churches which are in Asia, to Ephesus, to Smyrna, to Pergamos, to Thyatira, and to Sardis and Philadelphia and Laodicea. Then I turned to see the voice that spoke with me, and having turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And in the midst of the seven lampstands, one like the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the feet and girded about the chest with a golden band. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes like a flame of fire. His feet were like fine brass, as if refined in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. He had in his right hand seven stars. Out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was like the sun shining in its strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. But he laid his right hand on me, saying to me, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And I have the keys of Hades and of death. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which will take place after this. The mystery of the seven stars, which you saw in my hand, and the seven golden lampstands. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands which you saw are the seven churches. Whew, Jesus. Revelation chapter 2. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things say he who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your labor, your patience, and that you cannot bear those who are evil. And you have tested those who say they are apostles and are not, and have found them liars. And you have persevered and have patience and have labored for my name's sake and have not become weary. Nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember, therefore, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first work, or else I will come to you quickly and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. But this you have, that you hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church in Smyrna, write, these things says the first and the last, who was dead and came to life. I know your works, tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of those who say they are Jews and are not, but are a synagogue of Satan. Do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into prison, and you may be tested, and you will have tribulation 10 days. Be faithful unto this, and I will give you the crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. And to the angel of the church in Pergamos write, these things says he who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know your works and where you dwell, where Satan's throne is, and you hold fast to my name and did not deny my faith, even in the days in which Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was killed among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there those who hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed to idols, and to commit sexual immorality. Those you also have, those you hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate, repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him who overcomes, I will give some of the hidden manna to eat, and I will give him a white stone, and on the stone a new name written, which no one knows except him who receives it. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things says the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet like fine brass. I know your works, love, service, faith, and your patience. And as for your works, the last are more than the first. Nevertheless, I have a few things against you, because you allow that woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, to teach and seduce my servants to commit sexual immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her time to repent of her sexual immorality, and she did not repent. Indeed, I will cast her into a sick bed, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of their deed. I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he who searches the mind and heart, and I will give to each one of you according to your works. Now to you I say, to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end of him, I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like the potter's vessel. I also have received from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And that is our word for this morning. Wow. On Friday, we started and finished Joel. And on tomorrow, God willing, we will be in Amos, a new chapter. Or I should say a new book will be in Amos. Will be again in our Psalms and Proverbs. And we will continue in Revelation until the end of the year. So we will have Old Testament, new books as we go. Amos on Monday and Tuesday. And we will go into Amos on Wednesday. And again, all this is God willing. Again, we will stay in Amos and in Revelation most of next week. And we will hit Obadiah, I believe, close to the end of next week. But again, we will, from this point on, be in Revelation. We have finished all of our New Testament books and will be in Revelation until the end of the year. And I'm telling you, get your pen and get your paper out as we study Revelations, because this is our time. It may not be all in our time, but we are in the midst of some of this right now, and we need to know what we're dealing with. So I tell you, Revelations is going to be what we're doing for the rest of this year. And I believe there is a life lesson from today's lesson in Revelation. And I think I got all of the New Testament, Jude. I did get all of Jude. And Revelation chapter 1, life lesson is this. Grace to you and peace. Grace was a typical Greek greeting of the first century, while peace served as a typical Hebrew greeting. The author thus lets his readers know that the book is for everyone, Jew and Gentile alike. Jesus Christ, the firstborn from the dead. Several individuals in the Bible before Jesus had been raised from the dead, but all of them, the Shunammite son in Kings 4:35, Jairus' daughter in Mark 5:42, Lazarus in John chapter 11, died a second time. Jesus conquered death, never to die again. So remember that. Yes, there were others that died and were raised from the dead, but understand Jesus is the only one that will never die again. Revelation chapter 1, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. The majestic, glorious appearance of the unveiled Christ is overwhelmed John that he fainted. We must never forget that our Savior and friend is also our Lord, Master, King, and Sovereign. We need to know who Jesus is, and then we will reverence him as he should be. And it goes on to tell us in Revelation chapter 2, I know your works, your labor, and your patience. And we're going to go a little bit over today. And it says this, I know your works, your labor, and your patience. But for those that have to leave us at 8, may the Lord watch between me and thee. While we are absent one from each other, in Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day. And remember, go to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And watch God work in your life. But as we continue, I want to make sure we get all these things in today. And it says, I know your works, your labor, and your patience. I'm reading it again. It says, the work Jesus gives every one of us to do can feel taxing and almost unending. To complete our assignment takes both perseverance and patience. Only when we labor in his strength can we avoid complete weariness. However, we may sometimes feel as though we toil in anonymity and that our labors go unnoticed and unappreciated. Remember, Jesus notices everything. He sees both our work and our attitude as we work, and he remembers. We each have assignments, family. Do your assignment. Do it to the best of your ability. Let God work in your life. God is calling us to new assignments every day. Walk in your calling. Do what God tells you to do and do it well. And it goes on to tell us in Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, do not fear any of those things which you are about to suffer. Obedience always brings blessings, but it may first bring suffering. God allows Satan to persecute some believers to test them and refine them. Satan means it for evil, but God means it for good. Remember that. Repent, John, Revelation chapter 2, verse 16. Repent, or else I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with the sword of my mouth. No one should ever imagine that the unconditional love of God means that he will never discipline his unrepentant children. Jesus uses strong language here to remind us that he expects us to represent him well. We reap what we sow. Paul says that if we sow to the flesh, we will from the flesh reap corruption. Galatians 6 and 8. And we need to make sure that we stand on God's word. That's all I have for this morning. Before we get out of here, a couple of words from our sister in Christ. And then we are wrapping it up. And again, I thank each of you for listening in this morning. This has been a blessed word today. And I just say again, mercy, peace, and love be multiplied to each and every one of you. And as we get a word from our sister, it says this, good morning, whatever you may face today, be encouraged that nothing is too hard for God. Again, our scripture for today is Hebrews 11 and 1, one of my favorites. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Praise God this morning. Praise him from the highest mountain. Praise him from the lowest valley. Praise him in the sea. Praise him in the sky. Praise our Father who is come. And who will come again. Thank God for his son. And thank Jesus for his love. Thank you all, family, for listening in this morning. It is a wrap. I appreciate you. I love you. Thank you, those that were able to stay over a little bit longer. May God bless you. May he watch over you. May his light shine upon you. May his mercy, his peace, and love be multiplied in you today and forevermore. In Jesus' name I pray over you and yours. Have a blessed and glorious day, knowing that you are loved more than anything by the Savior, by his Father, and by me. And there's nothing you can do about it but love us back. I'm not saying I'm up there with the Father and the Son. I'm just saying I'm grateful that they have allowed me to be a part of the family, just as they have allowed you to be a part of the family. Thank you all. Be blessed. It's a wrap. What do? Go to work. Who do we work for? We work for God. It's time to go to work. Have a great day, y'all. And join me, God willing, tomorrow morning, 7 o'clock, Central Standard Time, 7 a.m. Be blessed.